And I know there's ministers all over the country that are deeply impacted by Liam's life. And Liam's impact is not just in Lilydale, but it's actually across the state. And you have a way of making people feel at home. You have a way of... I always talk about Liam. When I travel, for those of you who don't know, I travel all around the world. I preach in all different spaces. And people always ask me about my home church and my home pastor. That might be because we're both...
That's right, I'll turn it off.
And I always say, I've never met a man like him. I've never met a pastor like Liam. I say, he actually just does not care about climbing a ladder, about somehow looking good, about some... He just wants the Lord. And he just wants people to be launched after the call of God on their life. You know, a lot of pastors would say to someone like me, hey, mate, you're only around once a month. Just when you're here, just sit down and shut up, mate. You're clearly not in. You know, you're either in or you're out. Are you? I can't tell you the amount of pastors that have looked me in the eye and said, Andrew, are you in? Because I don't feel like you're really in. And I'm like, mate, trust me. When I'm at church, Liam will tell you, how can I serve you? What can I do? You know, I want to serve. But he doesn't just say to me, Andrew, when you're around, yeah, just stack the chairs. He says, do you want to preach? He says, come over, let's have a coffee. I walked into a staff meeting the other day, first one in forever, and they all clapped that I was at staff meeting. Not in a sarcastic way, but they were just so happy to see me. And I thought, what sort of a pastor just cares about me running and flying and kicking goals and running in my lane and seeing the world transformed? And he cares about Russ and Rach doing the same thing, and he cares about Jono and Carla doing the same thing, and he cares about Sandy doing the same thing, Jen doing the same thing, and the Tromps, you know, running, and you guys championing. He's selling his own shirts, and he's got, you know, not his own, the sanctuary. He's got you guys selling your shirts next to him. And I know I'm taking a while, and he's saying, shut up, I've got to preach. But do you realize the gift that is standing in front of you? We have many teachers but few fathers. Fathers exist to raise their children up, to send them out. It's the only relationship that you actually want them to leave you. You know, like, I don't ever want Joyce to leave me, and she never will, hallelujah, and I'll never leave her. But I want my children to leave me. I want them to go out and to slay dragons and to advance the kingdom. And we have in front of us not just a pastor, not just a gifted teacher, not just a leader. We've got a father who says, I love you. I believe in you. What do you need? Let me cheer you on. Run, run, run. And so if you know Liam, you're honored to sit under his leadership, to sit under his teaching today. I would encourage you to lean in. Often the prophet is without honor in his own town. We go, wow, Pastor Corey's here. Pastor Seth's here. Liam's on. I'm telling you right now, you want the reward that's on this man's life. You want the reward that's on this man's life. Can we stand and honor Liam Swain and as he brings the word? Thank you.
Grab a seat. All right. Hopefully this doesn't go haywire. Good. Thank you, Andrew. I'm going to employ you to do all the intros from now on. All right. Andrew, you can do Dean intro and hey. Nah, very kind, very kind. I would encourage you to. I'm going to get Dean to share this tonight, but Dean, I'll let him tell you the dream, but he actually had a dream. I'll just share this little snippet with two, 3 years ago. Maybe more, of Corey preaching in this church. And so I really believe what Corey... Wasn't that just the right now word for our house and for our family? And I just encourage you, you know, I said this at church on Sunday. I'm not too fussed about conferences in terms of a conference for a conference sake. But there are times where we felt the Lord on this. We were like, this is, we felt that we were meant to do this conference and we were meant to, you know, invite the people that we've invited and have the people speak that we speak, because that's what we felt the Lord say. And I just believe the Lord is rewarding it. And so I just encourage you to just text 5-10 people, whatever, and say, come tonight. And just get them here, because I think what Corey's going to release is going to be super, super powerful. All right, you got your gospel track shoes on?
Oh, yeah.
You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Adam and Eve were created in the image of God and in his likeness. So whenever I preach this, people, the number one question that I hear always people say is they say, Liam, if I'm not a sinner, why do I still sin? Well, Adam and Eve weren't sinners. It's like what Seth said last night. You know, you can live like Mr. Anderson, but you're really Neo. It's one of the, you know, you can live like an orphan in the promised land. Often my thing is, why do you want to?
Yeah.
And so Adam and Eve performed to get something that they already had, which made them lose the very thing that they had. Does that make sense? So Adam and Eve were like God, and then the devil comes along and he says, you will be like God if you eat of this tree. They eat of the tree and then they lose the very thing that they were, because they were trying to perform to get what they already had. Does that make sense? And so in the world's way of doing things, you perform, you do something. What job do you do? What career do you have? Whatever it is. So you perform, which then in the world, that makes you accepted. You're accepted because you wear these clothes, you drive this car, you have this kind of success, whatever it is, right? So you perform, you do something. Now, doing things isn't evil. It's not like, you know, you walk out of here and you're like, oh, so should I never do anything ever again? No. What the motive behind you do what you're doing. I grew up in a sport. I was an athlete. I was a professional soccer player, semi-professional soccer player, and, you know, was over playing in the Scottish Premier League, was playing in the reserves over there. And so I lived from the age of 14 to the age of 21. I lived based on how well you performed. Like, okay, just insight into the soccer world right now. Corey will know this because his son's a soccer player. If you were 2 minutes late, you would get fined. Yeah. You had to wear shoes, you had to wear the pants, you had to wear a tie, there wasn't a bad thing. It taught me some really valuable lessons, right? It taught me some really valuable things. So I would be like, I never want to be late. I'd be nagging mum. I'd be like, let's go now. When I was like 15, I played for South Melbourne and in the city. And so I'd be like, we need to go right now. If you can't get me there, I'm catching a train the day before. So I don't, because otherwise you'd be like, sit on, if you were late without a good reason, like a car accident or something, you'd be put on the bench. If you did that a couple of times, you wouldn't play and you wouldn't get paid. Right, so that's the world I grew up in, which was performance, which is the spirit of the world. Right, you do something, do it well. If you miss the mark just a little bit, you'll be smited, demoted, whatever it is. Right, and then out of that performance, the people will accept me, my boss, my husband, my wife, my friend, my spouses, whatever. Where social media, it's crazy with, you know, Instagram world and Facebook world, and I love all those things. They're awesome. They can be used for God. But yeah. You guys know that. So we perform to get accepted. Then out of that acceptance, people get their identity, yeah. Right? Or they perform to get their identity, and then that makes them accepted. You can bark like a dog. It doesn't make you a dog. Yeah, that's right. You can plant yourself in a garage. It doesn't make you a car. It just means you're ignorant.
Yep.
I can go into the female toilets. It doesn't make me a woman.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Too much? Yeah. Okay. In the kingdom, you're accepted.
That's it.
Jesus died while you were a sinner. You're accepted in the beloved, and out of that, you get your identity as a son or a daughter of God, and then out of that, you perform. Yeah. You do whatever it is that he's called you to do. So you're accepted, that gives you your identity, and then out of that you do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. I don't care if my children become lawyers, doctors, ministers of the gospel, stay-at-home mum. I've only got girls, so that's all I can be right now. I don't know if you know this, Corey, but we're pregnant. Did you know that? We're pregnant with our fourth child. So when you're given the word about being pregnant, I'm like, yes, literally, we are pregnant. So I could have a boy. Who knows, right? The Lord knows. But I don't care what they do as long as they love the Lord.
Good.
As long as they know that they are loved by their Father. Yeah. As long as that they know that they are accepted in the Beloved. No matter what they do, even if they fail, they know they're accepted. I don't quite understand this scientifically or cognitively. Seth might be able to tell me this. But whenever I've disciplined one of my kids for doing something wrong, yes, they do things wrong, right? Whenever they've talked back to mom or it's something serious and they've received the discipline out of love, not out of punishment, it only takes a few minutes and they want to come and cuddle me and sit on my lap and hug me and be with me for the next half an hour. Yeah. I personally believe because they're in an environment where they know they're loved, where they know they're accepted, so they run to their Father, not away. Come on. And so I long, when I came back from, so my wife and I, 2012, we went to BSSM. If you don't know what that stands for, it's Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. In the world, people call it Hogwarts for Christians. And anyway, we went there. We were seeing miracles in our life. We were seeing credible stuff here in our own personal home. We were seeing crazy stuff, oil dripping on people's hands, gold dust falling out of the ceiling of our house, people getting out of off crutches. I remember I prayed for 1,000 people on the streets. My first person I prayed for on the streets was a Satanist. The second person was a Christian that didn't believe in miracles. I was like, give me the Satanist. You know? So we were like, we want to go to Bethel. And the reason I wanted to go to Bethel is because I just knew I was dissatisfied with the way church, and this isn't a slam against the church or anything, but I was dissatisfied with, Corey touched on it, he said religion is form without power. Yeah. That's what religion is, has God at the center, but it doesn't have any power attached to it and transformation attached to it. And I was saved. I knew I was a believer. I knew God was real. I'd seen miracles in my own personal life. But I was highly addicted to pornography. And I was living this. I was just like tormented. I'd go 2 weeks. I'd read my Bible. And I'm like, all right, I'm doing good. I'm climbing the ladder of God. And I'm getting closer to God. And then I'd stuff up. And I'd look at porn or whatever. And then I'd feel like I'm back down the bottom. Or something else would go wrong in soccer or this or that or whatever. I grew up in a broken home and abusive stepfather, and so I all these things, my dad left me when I was born, all this stuff would come and try and haunt me, right? And so all these things, I'm like, oh well, I guess I'm just an evil, rotten sinner that God somehow forgave. That was the mindset I had for 7 years of my Christian life, until one day in 2008, around this time, April, May, I got back from playing soccer in the UK. He sent me home, and I'm sitting at on the TV screen, computer screen. YouTube had just been invented, right? Praise God for YouTube. Because I'm sitting there listening to this guy called Chris Vallotton. And Chris Vallotton's preaching on your house is no longer haunted.
Yeah. Come on.
right? And I don't know who Chris Vallotton is. I didn't know who Hillsong was. I didn't know about denominations. I didn't know about anything. I've shared this with our church before. I thought denominations were demon nations. And so when people would say, which denomination are you from? I'm like, no, we don't worship demons. And they're like, oh, no, good one. Are you a Pentecostal? And I was like, I don't know what that means. They're like, do you raise your hands? I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't you raise your hands? It's the King of Glory. And they're like, oh, you're a Pentecostal. I'm like, cool, I'm a Pentecostal then, right? This is how I grew up. And so I was like, okay. And then people would be like, do you know this person? Do you know Brian Houston? Do you know da-da-da? I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. They're like, oh, I said, I know this one guy. I've been listening on YouTube. His name's Chris Vallotton, but I couldn't see him. It was just an audio thing. And so anyway, he preached what I'm about to share with you, but he said, your fight is no longer against your old man, it's against principalities and powers, and too many Christians are fighting a man that's dead. Wow. They're shadow boxing and they're fighting something that Jesus already purchased and crucified on the cross, and they're so busy fighting a dead person because they think they're a sinner, they'll sin by faith. Wow. If you think you're a sinner, you will sin by faith. Yeah. And so, but I want to take it a step further today and say the reality is that when we know we're a son or a saint, no matter what happens in our life, we would come into intimacy with God, because out of intimacy, we will destroy the works of the devil. Yeah. It won't be out of performance. It'll be out of intimacy, because how many know challenges will just come? Yes? Yeah. You don't have to be like, we're not immune to challenges. We're not immune to storms. We're not immune to things that'll happen. So often when people hear like Todd White or someone preach Dan Moeller, they're like, oh my goodness, they're immune to challenges. They're like somehow floating on some cloud. And it's like, no, they just have a different perspective when the challenges come. They might sleep in the boat like Jesus rather than get all fearful and worried about what's going to happen to them. And so I'm listening to this message and I'm hearing and I'm like, I just don't know who I am. And I don't know who God is. So I get down on my knees in my living room and I ask this simple question. I'm like, God, show me who I am. And boom, the power of God hits me. I have a 5-hour encounter with God where I see I have a bird's eye view of a stone table like Narnia. And I see a lamb on the table and it's getting slain. And inside of the lamb, it's a holographic picture. And inside of the lamb is me. Wow. I'm in the lamb. And then it gets killed and it goes into the table. And then it rises. And as it rises, it's a lion. It's rising as a lion and it's a holographic lion. And inside of the lion is me.
Wow.
Come on. Because Jesus, when he was crucified, you crucified with him. A friend of ours, Jalil, he says it this way. Finally, Jesus found a resting place for your dead body to hang on. And that's the cross.
Yeah, good.
So Christianity now is not you trying to develop yourself into a better Christian. It's discovering who you've already become as a new creation and behaving accordingly. Christianity is not behavior modification. It's killing modification.
Yes.
I don't say this too often anymore, but this is family. I can say this. Jesus was the greatest mass murderer on the planet. He killed a bunch of dead people so he could deposit himself inside of you. Maybe don't quote that and put that up. But Jesus crucified your old nature. He didn't put a Band-Aid over your old nature. He killed it. He didn't crucify you, and he's not putting makeup on a dead person.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wow. That's really good.
He's like, I'm going to give you a brand new life. I'm going to call it being born again. So Christianity is not you behaving correctly and then God will love you more. Christianity is you have been loved to the fullest, and then out of that you behave and respond in the way that he is. The way I put it, my language is, I'm not becoming more married. I can't be. I can't become more married to my wife. It's impossible. But I can be married to my wife We can live in the same room. We can live in the same house. We can have a contractual agreement signed on a piece of paper, but we never become intimate with each other because it's purely contractual. It's not actual intimacy with the Lord. And I'll just follow on from what Corey said. It is about the way that we grow in this, the way that we have a Jesus people, the way that we have a Jesus generation is we realize I'm a son and I'm redeemed. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. Do you know saint means sanctified, set apart one? Yeah. He doesn't write to the churches, the sinners of Ephesus, to the sinners of Corinth, to the sinners. He writes to the saints. We have three eyes in. I'm not preaching New Age. We have three actual eyes in our church as our core pillars: identity, intimacy, and increase. And it's in that order for a reason. It's not increase, then intimacy, then identity. It's identity, then intimacy, and then increase. It's for that reason. It's out of sonship. We get to be intimate with our Father, and then out of that, we get to destroy hell for a living. We get to go into this lost world, and we get to snatch people out of darkness, and we get to co-labor and bring about the kingdom of God on planet Earth. We get to actually do that in our workplace, in our families, in our businesses, in our lives, in everything that we do. I'm not against, I believe right now the Lord is looking for some. I met this beautiful girl. She's become a friend of ours, and she is changing the Olympic world for Jesus. Nicola McDermott. Who's heard of Nicola McDermott? Beautiful. That woman is a daughter. She knows she's loved. She knows. So she goes, she met with the Olympic committee to bring chaplains into the Olympics. She wants to bring chaplains into the Olympics. That is a performance-based world. She's a daughter in the system of athletics to bring about transformation in that world. He won't do it through orphans. He'll do it through sons and daughters. Come on. And there's a bunch of us, we're shadow boxing. We're like, we have this self-talk. I fully believe what Corey said was accurate. We need the transformation of the mind so we can not just think the thoughts of God, but we can think like God.
Yeah, that's it.
There's one thing to think the thoughts of God. There's another thing to think like God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're God. Don't worry. But God wants you to have radical thoughts. I mean, if he can take 12 dudes from Jerusalem and transform the world. Come on.
Yeah.
He can take, do you know, Mary, born, where was she born? Where was she grew up? Bethlehem. Yeah. Do you know Bethlehem is now the most visited city in the world?
Wow.
Because something significant happened there. Come on. Let's open the Bible. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 5, actually. Let's go to Romans 5. You guys good?
Yeah.
Romans 5. Jesus did not save us in our sin, but from it.
Yeah.
You're not a, like Seth said it last night, you're not a butterfly, you're not a caterpillar anymore. You're a butterfly. What if the Lord is not looking for more workers? What if he's looking for sons and daughters? And then out of that, he will work the kingdom through them. Do you know, there'll be a day where apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers don't exist anymore. That day's not now, but that there will be a day. There will be a day when church ministries and leaders stop, but there'll never be a day where you outgrow sonship, ever. The goal of an apostle is to point people to Jesus. so that they would change culture. Just a side tangent for a moment here, but apostles would be sent out by the Romans when they would conquer a city. They would send apostle ships to go and culturize that city. And so when Jesus says, "You are my apostles," he's saying, "I want you to take my world and culturize it in your world." If we think we're orphans or we think we're sinners, we will never actually grab our inheritance that has been promised to us and actually see transformation in a city, because we'll be too busy looking inwardly and navel-gazing at our belly buttons, wondering what's wrong with me, that you'll never be effective for the kingdom, because you'll be too busy trying to fix something that was crucified with Jesus. And the devil loves that. I call him the Wizard of Oz. He's a little man behind a big curtain, pedaling really, really fast. But when you pull the curtain back, you realize, oh my goodness, is that who he is? Why did I not just slay that guy and get busy bringing about the kingdom of God? Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Romans 5, let's go real quick. Verse 17. "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience," this is talking about Adam, "the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Just pause right there. I put it simply for you guys this way. If I tell you guys right now to go out and play a game of soccer, most of you would do offside because you don't know the rule of offside. Just no one knows it. You try and tell them with the ketchup bottle and the tomato sauce, you know, the salt and pepper shaker, and you try and tell people and they're like, "I still don't get it," right? But if I threw the ball in there and I said, "Play soccer," you'd be doing the things wrong. But now if I bring in the law of soccer and I explain, you start to realize, oh, I was doing that thing wrong anyway. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, right? And then when law came in, sin increased. Why? Because you now know the things that you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And then he says, okay, so where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And Paul realizes, because he doesn't have backspace, he's writing with a feather. So he realizes, oh, you could be thinking that I'm saying sin more so you get more grace. And then, right? So that's what he says. It's like, you could be thinking, I'm saying the more you sin, the more grace you're going to get. But listen to what he says. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" So he asks the question that he thinks, oh, you could be thinking this. Because it says where sin abound, grace abound all the more. "By no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." Next verse. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know," this is the kicker, "we know that our old self is slowly over a period of 45 years being crucified." No, it doesn't say that. It says our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to it. For one who has died has been set free from sin. That word sin is a noun. It's a person. I don't think there's anyone in here called Daryl. We used to call it Daryl. If you know a Daryl and they're awesome, that's fine. Don't call it your boss's name. Don't, right? It's a noun. It helps people personify it. It's a noun and has its own desires. Hebrews 3 says that you encourage each other daily so you wouldn't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, that you won't give in to its desires. Whose desires? Sin's. Sin has desires. And in verse 12, let's jump down to verse 12. Sorry, I'm moving quickly now. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to Daryl and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's call in the Wizard of Oz because I don't want to put shame on Daryl. So you also must consider yourself dead to the Wizard of Oz and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not Daryl, therefore, sin, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Yeah. Sin is on the outside. We so often in the church, we're like, oh, the devil's so close and he's so prevalent in everything that we do, and it's the devil and the devil and the devil, and we're so devil-focused. Where here it says the devil, sin, is on the outside and God's on the inside. It's a massive God and a small devil. Now, he's real. We need to be aware of his devices and his plans. He's real. He's not. He's still there. Right? I love what Chris Valentin says. He's got no arms and no legs. He's been disarmed and defeated.
There we go.
Right? Just to loosen you up a bit there. Right? He's been disarmed and defeated. But he still has power. How does he get power? How does the devil get power? We give it to him. He can't create anything. He can't do anything unless he can get Adam and Eve to agree with a partial lie and partial truth. If he can get you to do that, if he can get you to believe in the knowledge of the tree of good and evil versus the tree of life, he can get you to give, for you to give him the power so that he can use that power, because he can't create power for himself. So the devil, sin, seeks to reign in your mortal body. Theological, the principle of first mention, Adam and Eve, sin's on the outside. Then it says, it knocks at the door, seeking whom it shall devour, Genesis 4:3, with Cain and Abel. It's seeking whom it shall devour. It's submit to God, resist the devil, and then he does flee. Yeah. But so many Christians are just trying to resist the devil without knowing who they are and who they've become. And then they start to, so I had this 5-hour encounter. I came up off that 5-hour encounter and I had a love for the people that had hurt me in my life, and I tried to hate them for about 2 weeks. I was like, I just want to hate them. And I couldn't, because I'd realized who I'd become. I came up after that encounter, the way I looked at women from that moment on, and I have ever since, the way I looked at women wasn't objective, wasn't like perverted from the pornography. I was washed clean. And I would look at girls in a way that's like, they are loved, but they are God's children.
Yeah.
You know, sexual intimacy, I'm just going to take a little side tangent for a second. Adam wasn't walking around the garden and God's like, oh, I need to make him a woman so he can be sexually satisfied, so he can get his itch met. Adam made Eve so he can be intimate with someone in a pure way, in a holy way. And when he did that, the hymen broke. Come on, this is a picture of the Lord. The blood was spilled, so the veil was torn. I know I'm being graphic right now, but the veil was torn so that the bride and the bridegroom could become one.
Okay.
Come on, we're all adults in here.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yep. You learnt this in grade 5. But so often in the church, I can't remember who quoted this, but I love it. I love this. The world flaunts sexuality. The church has shamed it, and it's time that the kingdom celebrates it.
Yeah,
that we would celebrate our identity. We would celebrate as sons and daughters of God. What does John the Baptist say? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Takes it away. Doesn't keep you in it. Now, as I said, you can roll around in dirt all you like. You can sin. It's going to bear death in your life. It's going to bear the power of sin is death. Too often as Christians, we're so trying to... I've sat with pastors and they're like, the way they talk, and this isn't trying to put shame on anyone, but the way they talk is like, how close to the fire of sin can I get? And it's like, what are you doing? I don't walk out my front door and go, all right, I've got to try and not have an affair. I'm like, how can I have an awesome relationship with my wife? I'm like, how can I be more intimate with my wife? Not just sexually, but just in every sort of way. I'm not walking down my front door going, all right, I've got to think like an American. I've got to think like an American. I've got to think. No, I'm walking out my front door. I know I'm a citizen of heaven. I know I'm a citizen of Australia. I don't have to carry my passport around with me because I know this country is where I belong. This is my country, right? If I go to America, I might be like, oh, I got to drive on the other side of the road. And then we talked about that last night, you know? And it's like, but when I'm in this country, I know I belong here. I know I'm a son. I know I'm a daughter. That's not arrogance. It's confidence. Yeah. It's confidence in who I am. Yeah. So behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. Let's just listen to a couple of these verses and then we're gonna try and close right on 12:30. The Lord's Ezekiel 37, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Come on, you got a new heart and a new spirit. John 7:37 says, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. Come on. So if the heart's evil, what rivers are flowing? Yeah. None. It's a bathtub then. 1 Timothy 1, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A pure heart. Yeah. Oh, but I didn't do anything to deserve it. That's the point. That's the point. That's the good news of Christianity. Amen. You couldn't do anything anyway. So many of us, they're still trapped in the system of the world that perform, perform, perform. If I read my Bible more, I'll be more holy. No, if you read your Bible more, you'll realize who you've already become.
Yeah, good.
If you get into the presence of God more, you'll realize, oh my goodness, this is who I am. Because James 1 says this is like a mirror. And if you walk away, you forget what you're like. So this doesn't tell you who you're not. This tells you who you are. When you look in the mirror, you realize, oh my goodness, I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Oh my goodness, greater works can I do when Jesus goes to be with the Father. Oh my goodness, he healed the sick, so can I. Oh my goodness, he walked on water, so can I. Oh my goodness, he did this. Why? Because Jesus is the exact imprint of God, and Jesus is the truth about God, and he's the truth about you. You're not a son of Job. You're not a son of David. You're not a son of Moses. You're a son of Jesus. Come on.
Yes.
All right. Having purified your souls, 1 Peter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincerely brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. That word imperishable seed is never found anywhere else in Scripture. Did you know that? It doesn't exist anywhere else in Scripture because never before in Scripture was there a seed that allowed people to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation chosen by God, birthed out of the side of Jesus. How did God create Eve? How did God create the new bride? Out of the side of Jesus. So there's a generation never before existed, and it's the generation of Jesus. It's the seed of Jesus. Yeah. It's the seed of the King of Glory that lives inside of you. And he's like, church, cultivate this seed. I can grow a monster garden. I can do anything with someone who would simply say, I believe you at your word. Brilliant. That's what he says. Brilliant. Psalm 103:12, we know it. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. 1 John 3, you know that he appeared in order to take away sin, and in him, in Christ, there is no sin. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Come on. All right, I'm going to just finish with this. Three pictures that we see in Scripture. Jesus says the devil is the father of lies. You either belong to the devil or you belong to the father of truth. There's no middle ground. Father of lies, father of truth. Jesus is the center of humanity. We see that on the cross. Jesus is at the center. And you have two thieves on either side. And one chooses, one doesn't. And the third picture is you have the son, the prodigal son, which I believe is also more about the other son than it is about the one that runs away. That's just my personal opinion. Because he starts off the parable, he says there were two sons. One asked for the inheritance, which basically means, could you be dead, please, so I can have your money? He takes the money, he runs out, does all kinds of crazy stuff, realizes after a while, hey, I'm better off as a servant in my father's house than I am as a free man in the world. And so he runs back. The father embraces him, but then the other son also goes, hey, why don't I get a fattened calf? Why don't I get a party? He says, hey, everything I've had is yours this whole time. And I believe there are a lot of Christians like that. They're in the Father's house. They're born again. It's not a salvation issue. Yeah. They're born again. They're filled with the Spirit. All those things that we want, all those things, but they're dormant because they're so busy looking at what other people have got. And they're so focused on what they don't have versus the things that they do have. That they're in the Father's house. Everything that's in the Father's house is yours. You can have, it's a family business. You can have what I have. You can have what Corey had. It's fully all free in the kingdom. You got drafted into the family of God where he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There is absolute. Do we believe where he says that nothing is impossible with God to those who believe? Yeah. Do we believe it? Come on. Yeah. Do we believe we're born again? We have to at some point just say, all right, I'm born again. Come on. I'm not a product of my family. You might have had an awesome family. You're not a product of your past. You might have dabbled in stuff. You're like, that is not who you are anymore. You are born from above, not born from the will of man. But I love what God does with the prodigal son, because he gives him a robe, gives him a ring, and gives him sandals. The robe represents royalty. The ring represents authority. It's the signature ring. It's the credit card of heaven. It's, hey, I'm royalty. Can I sign off on this? What's our mandate? Pray this way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, who's on earth? You are. So he wants you to be able to look at things and say, hey, that thing is of the devil. It does not belong. I want to sign off on violently taking the kingdom of God by force, by binding what is bound there and loosing what is loose there. But if we're busy shadow boxing, doing what the other prodigal son's doing, I don't have enough, I'm not this, why don't I get a fattened calf? Why don't I get to preach? I don't have that. Why don't I get to have worship? Why don't I get the ministry? Why don't I get the accolades? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, they didn't play my favorite worship song when I came to church, and oh, they were too long, and they were too loud, and they were too this, and they were too that. Stop it! That's not what sons do. Sons come back and throw parties. Sons serve. Yeah. Sons come. I'm not preaching this so you would serve me more. Yeah. Yeah. I'm preaching this so you would transform the world that you live in.
Fantastic.
You guys, a lot of you in here have seen this, but for those that haven't, because there are guests in here, I just love this picture. But I have instant coffee, which is sin. That's demonic. That's from the devil. But God created man. So if you have the Trinity, can you guys all see this? God created man in our image. So if you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he would commune in the garden with Adam. He would be intimate with Adam. They would walk in the cool of the day. And then instant coffee, also known as sin, came in, right? Tainted the nature of Adam. And it didn't matter what we did. You could help the little old lady across the road. You could read your Bible more. Come to church more. Just perform more. Just do more. Just do. You're a doer. Just do more stuff. It doesn't change your nature. So God came up with this brilliant plan, and he went, all right, what should we do, Holy Spirit? And Holy Spirit said, I know what we do. Let's not go down and try and fix them anymore. Whoop. Let's deposit Jesus so he becomes sin. He takes it all on. I'm not gonna taint him today. But he becomes sin, and when he dies, he resurrects. And when he resurrected as you. And then he says, all right, what we're going to do with the Holy Spirit, if any person from that moment on receives me, their nature will be crucified and they'll be compatible again with the Father. And they can have intimacy again. So that's what the Trinity now looks like. You're inside, you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. And you are one, and you can have intimacy, and you can boldly approach the throne. Now, you can dunk yourself in that. You can roll around in that. That's not going to produce fruit in your life. It'll produce death. But when you become close to the Father, you become intimate. You realize, hang on, this is who I've become, and then I respond accordingly. Why don't you stand? I'm going to drink the Holy Spirit right now. I really believe right now what the Lord's birthing around the world, around Melbourne, around, and I shared this morning, I shared it last night. If you look at people who win lottery, and you will look at mostly in the NFL in particular, and basketball as well, probably happens in a lot of sports. When they become from poor backgrounds in the natural money, financially poor, and they all of a sudden receive a huge inheritance of wealth, if they have an orphan mentality, they say within 18 months, if they're people that win lottery, blow it all. Yeah. And I love what Ben Fitz shared. He said there's a lot of people right now that have been promoted that are orphans, and that's why they're falling. And he's looking for sons and daughters of God that would actually know them and not be moved by favor. Because I agree with Corey, favor's going to come. Yeah. You seek God, he will reward those who diligently seek him. But it's what you do with favor that matters. Exactly. If you promote yourself because you have an orphan mentality, then it will fall with you. But if you promote the Lord continuously because of what he's done, and you remain humble in that, this matters. This matters. How we respond in this time matters. I'm longing for the day that the church would finally wake up and say, we're no longer sinners, we're saints. We would take our, that paradox would be gone from the bride. That paradox would be gone from our language. And we would respond accordingly because of what he's done. I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now. One more point. The sandals. The sandals is purity. And it is freedom. God allowed freedom for that son so much that he said, you're free to go again if you want to. You can run again. I'm going to put you in your clothes, but you can run again if you want, because I'm not going to control you. So, Father, I just right now, I just pray every single person in this room would be clothed in their robe, their ring, and their sandals. That maybe they've lost their authority, maybe they've lost their purity, maybe they've lost their royalty, God. Maybe they've walked there, maybe they've been letting sin reign in their mortal body. Maybe they've been letting the fiery darts of the enemy come from the outside and penetrate their soul. And I just pray right now that that would be restored to every single person in this room. And those that have been maybe in the Father's house and there's been a critical spirit on them, there's been a critical thing that is looking and criticizing and woe is me and I don't have enough and blah, blah, blah. I just pray right now the Father is saying, hey, son, daughter, you have enough. You are enough. My son was enough. I'm enough for you. You don't need what that person has. I've got something for you. You don't need to be like Liam. You don't need to be like Corey. You don't need to be like Andrew or Joyce or Jono or someone else. I want you to stop being critical of other people, and I want to start for you to start to be the most authentic version of you, because the church and the world needs what you have. So, Father, right now, would your spirit just crush that in Jesus' name, and would performance-based Christianity be done away with in our nation, in our state, and would sons and daughters of God arise? I pray for Corey and for Simone, and I thank you that Pneuma Church would be marked by sons and daughters and mothers and fathers. I just declare that over Pneuma Church. I pray that that would be a place. Thank you, Father. Yeah, just that's awesome. I just pray that there is a father mantle, there is a father and mother mantle on you and Simone. And I just thank you, this season, this our country needs mothers and fathers. And I just declare in this room there are mothers and fathers, you need to step up. You need to step up in this room. You need to say, I'm no longer just going to be a backbench player. I'm going to come out to the forefront. That's metaphorically. That you're going to come out and start to see, because we need mothers and fathers to raise up sons and daughters. Healthy marriages produce healthy children. Healthy children produce healthy marriages, and the cycle is that simple. Yes, Lord, I just declare over Pneuma, just extend your hands to Corey right now, and James, this is one of his executives. Father, I just declare that Pneuma would be a light for orphans to come home to. I just declare the prodigals would come home. I declare that Christians that have walked away from the church because of hurt or abuse or whatever, they would come home, and Pneuma and other churches will be able to bring healing where there's been hurt, where there's been abuse, where there's been wrongdoing. I just pray Corey and Simone would be able to bring healing and restoration and reconciliation to the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Father, I just pray right now there'd be a release of the seed that is imperishable to produce a mighty forest in amongst every single person in this room. And I pray for the Church of Australia right now. I pray for the Church of Melbourne that would no longer be backyard fighting. There'd be no longer be backyard fighting, but there'd be sons and daughters of God champion each church and congregations on. And the more that we would do that, the more the world would see, oh, these guys, they love each other. And many, many, many would come to the love of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you give God a hand? Just bless him.